Welcome to WebRush, the weekly talk show that brings you stories of real-world development from industry experts and developers like you and me. Each week, Ward Bell, Dan Wallin, Craig Shoemaker, and John Papa find out what it takes to write, deploy, and maintain apps that stand up to the demands of the real world. And now, here are your hosts.
Welcome back to WebRush. This is episode 150, and we want to thank all of you for listening all this time. I'm so glad that you could all join us for this amazing podcast season. Yes, thank you very much. And yes, we have new toys and sound effects along with the podcast.
John and his gadgets.
That is true. And today, I'm John Papa, along with my co-host, Craig Shoemaker. Craig, how's it going for you?
I'm doing great. I don't have any new gadgets to share at the moment, but yeah, I'm doing awesome.
But you're going to tell us all about your new friend that met you at your house today, are you not?
It was a reptile with no legs that kind of freaked my wife out a little bit. So I had to invite him to the outside of the house in a kind of a forceful way. But, you know, it's all good now, so...
I've got to admit, it kind of freaked me out a little bit too when you're telling me the story about a snake in your house.
Yeah, I think my cat brought it in. So
your cat's having a party, neighborhood party. Seriously. Come on, everybody.
Gotta have a talk with that guy.
Craig has the Tom and Jerry house, by the way. So for those of you who remember that reference. Oh, amazing. So today, for our 150th episode, we're bringing back a return guest to the show who is no stranger to podcasts. He's got his own podcast as well. It's Kevin Aberg. How you doing, Kevin?
Oh, hey, I'm good. Glad to be back here.
Yeah, and if you'd don't mind sharing, what is the podcast that you host? What's the name of it?
Right, Svelte Radio.
So for anybody out there who's into Svelte, I got to say, probably the first community that I ran across was Kevin's here with Svelte Radio Podcast and Svelte Society. And today's topic is we're really going to talk a little bit about the community, about these two areas, Svelte Society and the radio, and then also about the tooling that you need or you should have or at least be aware of with the Svelte ecosystem. So we're not going to focus on any one particular tool or technology with this, but if you're into Svelte or you're curious about Svelte, this episode, we're kind of going to get into, all right, here's the stuff that you really should be thinking about using. And Kevin is the world's foremost expert on snakes. I mean, on Svelte tooling. So, with that, Kevin, let's start the conversation off about Svelte Society, if we could, and like tell people like what is the Svelte Society?
Yeah, so Svelte Society is sort of like the go-to community for Svelte people or people that are into Svelte, I guess you could say. It started off as just a bunch of meetups that ended up just fusing into some larger kind of group. So we had the first meetups we had for Svelte was in almost the same day. It was in New York, London, and Stockholm. So I had the Stockholm meetup, and Sean Wang, Swix, people probably know him, and Anthony, they're both also on the podcast with me. They hosted the New York meetup and the London meetup. And so after that, we kind of got together and we decided to put our heads together and see if we could create a community out of it, because we only had the small Svelte Discord up until that point. So we created the Svelte community, as it was called at that point. So you could reach that by going to community.svelte.dev, I think, where we pretty much just put up like lists of components, lists of meetups where you could find people, stuff like that.
And we'll drop some links into the show notes for some of these as well, for the Discord and the Svelte Society.
Yeah, so we did that. I started the Svelte Radio podcast around the same time. Originally, it was meant to be like a news podcast where I'd come on once a week, talk for 5 or 10 minutes about stuff that was going on. Ended up being pretty boring just listening to me. and it's hard to do monologues as well. I find at least. So Sean and Anthony, they both joined me, and we started the podcast basically. So yeah. And then what happened then? Yeah, so we switched the name into from the Svelte community name into Svelte Society, because that sounds way better. Mm. We got some traction.
It sounds much more luxurious and fancy, like as a designer label for all the front-end developers out there.
Yeah.
I've heard that when you join, everybody gets their own top hat. I don't know if that's true. But...
there is a top hat in the logo, for sure. I don't know if you've seen the... So we have a couple of chapters around the world, right? So we have the Swedish one, which I run, and the UK one, and a bunch of different ones around the US as well.
I was unaware that there were different chapters of Svelte Society.
That's pretty cool. It's kind of... it's very fluid. It's not really...
it's not like centrally organized.
Exactly. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So the French chapter anyway has the Svelte logo with a baguette, of course. And there are a bunch of different variations on that. I think the Canadian one has a maple leaf. So that's
all right. Now I'm going to have to do a little scavenger hunt for all of our audience members.
Yeah.
Go out there and discover the different Svelte societies and figure out what is their logo, the maple leaf, the French baguette. And for those of you out there who are not as familiar with Kevin, let me tell you a little bit more about him, even though he's a return guest in the show. Kevin works as a developer advocate for BuddyBase, a low-code platform for building internal tools. He has a background in front-end web development and plays a big role in running Svelte Society, what we were just talking about, where Svelteans meet up to talk Svelte, get help, and just hang out. So every time I read the word get help from that bio, Kevin, I'm thinking you're there at like as Fraser Crane from the old show Fraser, where he's a psychiatrist living in Seattle. And opening line is, this is Fraser Crane. I'm listening. And people just tell him their problems. So
it's kind of how the Svelte Discord works. People just drop in, and then people are just listening constantly and answering questions.
I've been in the Svelte Discord, I've noticed that, and you can get there from the links again, the show notes, folks. Definitely check it out. It's a great community. I've noticed it seems to be very much text-based. There's different channels in there, kind of like Slack-like or Gitter-like or many of these other tools we've had out for years. But Discord also offers other features like video and voice call and things like that. I'm kind of curious, do you all use any of that in the Discord?
Yeah, So we've had plans of doing these, I forget the name of what's Discord's version of Clubhouse?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I call it Discord's Clubhouse.
Yeah, same. Stages, maybe?
I'm gonna go Google it.
Anyway.
Stage channels, that's what they're called.
Yeah, stage channels, yeah. So we've been toying a bit with the idea of using those, like, and running maybe a bi-weekly chat where we bring people up and they can ask questions. Nothing, we haven't really done that yet though, but it's in the pipeline at some point when we have time and energy. But yeah, we've been using the Svelte Discord we've been running these conferences 2 times a year. And we've been using the Discord as a chat tool for that, but not using
Summit. Voice. Is that the one?
Yeah. Yeah. So the first one was, I think it was called Svelte Society Day. But that was too much Svelte Society in the name. So we thought, let's change it. So Sean came up with a Svelte Summit. So we switched it to that. So we've had two of those, and we're actually going to have another one in, let's see here, I think it's early November. Yeah. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be fun.
So John, one of the things I like about AG Grid, which is a data grid component for the kind of complex grid scenarios that we encounter all the time in enterprise apps, one of the things I really like about it is that it works for a variety of frameworks, Angular, React, Vue, or just vanilla JS. Does that ring a bell for you?
Oh, it really does. There's all these different companies that I work with where they have no choice but to use a lot of these different tools because they have different teams working on them. So being able to port their code or share that code and that technical investment they have is really important to them.
Yeah, well, it's important to us, IdeaBlade. We're a consulting company, and you know, we never know what our client's going to want to use, Angular, React, or Vue, but they're all going to need a grid, and it's great to be able to reach for the one grid that works everywhere, AG Grid.
You know, at any size company, too, because you could have these teams that maybe they only use one framework, but eventually they're going to switch to another one and be able to take that investment again and use it, reuse it, is really nice.
So if a multi-framework data grid makes sense to you, please go check out AG Grid at ag-grid.com.
So what's going on in the Svelte landscape right now that's got you really excited?
Yeah, so definitely SvelteKit. So SvelteKit is to React what, sorry, that's the wrong way of saying it. It's what Next.js is to React. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like Next for Vue or Next
yeah,
for
exactly.
React.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's nice. And it's, so I like it because it's serverless first, and I think that's pretty neat. Doesn't really have the cruft that the other ones have.
So. Right.
And what stage is SvelteKit in right now? I haven't checked in a couple of weeks. Is it out of beta? Is it public?
No, still in beta, but I would probably use it in production. But then I like to live on the edge sometimes. So
I know Craig and I were playing around with it for a while, and every version that dropped, like something was changing. I think at one point the layout was underscore layout, then $ layout, then it was Craig layout. Yeah. I mean, none of these things matter in the long run, but it was just funny because there were all these little changes.
Yeah.
And it was pre-beta stuff, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also like you don't want to like have to change stuff like that every time you come back to the project after a day, right?
Yeah.
But that's, I think that's pretty much set in stone now, like the naming and.
Well, that's, people who aren't familiar with it, like, it's almost like the political landscape in the world these days. People get unhappy no matter what you do. So with SvelteKit, they could have made the decision to be like, you know what, this is the API, we're never changing it, right? But then bad decisions kind of leak forever and you have to live with them, and it's beta. Or you just open the doors like things got opened. And I think even Rich Harris, I saw him talk on Svelte Summit, saying how the doors opened slightly earlier than he expected.
Yeah.
Yeah. And things just kind of come in, but you say, "Hey, look, it's beta. We'll make changes, but we'll tell you when we make them." You know,
well, that's kind of the escape hatch, right? I mean, you don't want to be put in a position to where, like you're saying, here's this brand new thing that we're just trying to figure out how we're all going to use together, and then you know, it's like if you choose to use it in a production environment when you've been duly warned, like there's just not much people can do for you at that point.
And I want to give the Svelte team, the whole team overall, the ultimate kudos, because something Craig and I have a deep relationship with. Any of these listeners show knows that Craig works on documentation team at Microsoft. And one of my big, I'd say, crusades that I've always been on is documentation is part of a product. Mm. So if you release a product that includes documentation, because if you don't, and this happens way too often, we release something, nobody knows what the heck it is, how the heck they use it, or where to go with it. And without those documentation, I mean, think about how many times you've gone to a GitHub page and someone said, "Hey, go check out Curly Mustache. That's a new library that's out there." You go look at the page, and I'm making this up. I hope it doesn't exist.
Probably does.
You go to the GitHub page and you look at it and you're like, it's got a cool logo. It says it's fast and it's browser safe. What does it do? You know, why do I need it? How does it work?
Right.
Well, that's up to you to figure out.
Yeah. Just make PR when you figure it out. That's some documentation, right?
And to your point, the Svelte guidance is just even much more than just docs. You know, it's the interactive tutorials. Yes. It's excellent docs. It's examples that make sense beyond just the, you know, I'm doing 2+2. And so, yeah, I just want to add on to what you're saying, that the team who is involved in that has done a phenomenal job.
Yeah, they're really good at the documentation part.
And I dropped a few of those links in there too, to SvelteKit and a migration guide for the docs, but you can go anywhere in those docs in general. Kevin, we talked a little bit about SvelteKit in society, but we started kind of going into that tooling area, right? And I think SvelteKit is probably the main tool that it didn't really exist a year, I don't know, a year ago, COVID time, I'm lost losing time.
Yeah.
It didn't exist originally. So there's other tools in the ecosystem as well. But before we move off of SvelteKit, one of the tools I think some people in our listening audience would have known, I'd like you to kind of talk about it a little if you could, and how it plays a role is Vite, V-I-T-E.
Yep.
Because Svelte takes a dependency on that. Is that right?
Yeah. So admittedly, I don't know too much about this, but I can kind of give a short summary of what I remember from it. So SvelteKit originally used Snowpack, if I remember correctly.
I had read that too. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So they switched to Vite, I think, because the projects were more aligned. So Vite handles it handles some of the bundling and some of the hot module reloading parts for SvelteKit, and it just in general offloads the Svelte team so they can focus on more I don't know, business logic stuff, if that makes sense, instead of having to handle splitting out CSS styling and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm checking out here. I'd found a blog post that I think it says Rich Harris authored back in March. He's got a small section in the blog post says from Snowpack to Vite. And I think he's referring to Svelte Summit, one of your events. One thing that might be surprising, and I'm quoting his article here, after the announcement video, which I waxed lyrical about Snowpack, is that SvelteKit now uses Vite under the hood. So he kind of then goes on to explain some of his reasoning for switching that piece there. And again, this was alpha pre-beta stuff anyway, but I don't think I like before Snowpack came to Svelte, I'd never heard of Snowpack.
Right.
And then I started looking into it. It looked amazing. And my impression of Vite is kind of similar to yours, that it's that piece that helps it do the dev time build and the HMR.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Hot module reloading.
And Vite, if I'm not mistaken, was actually created by Evan Yu, the creator of Vue.
Yeah, so I think the first version of Vite wasn't really a good fit for SvelteKit, because it was mostly built around Vue, which
makes
kind
sense.
Of makes yeah that yeah. makes sense. But the second version went really way more generic than Vue, so now everyone can use it pretty much, which is great.
You know, and just to kind of get back to the community around this, something I really appreciate about Svelte community and folks like yourself and Rich is that he goes out of his way in this paragraph to talk about his appreciation for Evan Yu for creating Vite and making it open, and then also to the creators of the Snowpack team for allowing them to work with things too. So it's something I don't think we see enough of, quite frankly, in this JavaScript world.
Agreed.
So.
Yeah, it's a lot of ooh, look, I made this new framework. Let's all jump ship.
Well, the thing that I think is really interesting about how Richard tends to handle things is like he's like, I'm not in a race, I'm not in a competition, I'm not trying to, you know, sell anything. He's like, I'm building this framework to accomplish these things, and if it helps you, that's great. But you know, when we interviewed him on the show, it was just very obvious. Like he wasn't trying to convert the entire world. He's just trying to make the best framework that he can, and it really shows.
Yeah. So he probably has the advantage of having to use his own framework. So he dog foods it, right, at the New York Times. That probably helps a lot in terms of like developer experience. Because for me, so that's the reason why I switched from React. Like the developer experience was just so much better for me.
For Svelte or for React?
For Svelte, yeah.
Okay.
So I switched from React to Svelte, yeah.
Hey, John, I have this great idea for a mobile app. I want to use native features like the camera, photo gallery, and geolocation, but I just don't have the time to learn a new language like Swift.
Yeah, but you do know JavaScript and web tech like React, Angular, and Vue, right?
I do, but how does that help me?
Well, if you use the Ionic framework, you can use your JavaScript skills and you get fully styled iOS and Android mobile components. Plus, it uses a capacitor to talk to all the native device platforms.
So if I use Ionic and Capacitor, I don't have to learn a new language. My JavaScript skills give me what I need to build a cross-platform app.
Absolutely. And you can check it out at ionic.link/webrush.
I'll do it.
So speaking of developer experience, getting back to more of the tools, we talked about SvelteKit and Vite a little bit. You introduced me to, which I was unaware of until today, that it looks like the Chrome browser has Svelte developer tools as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So what does it do? Like, somebody just search for Svelte dev tools?
Yeah, that's it.
And that's offered, okay, so I'm on a page here, it says offered by Red Hatter 271.
Yes.
9,000 plus users, that looks correct.
Yeah, so it's pretty much like you can browse the component tree, if you will, or just the structure of your application, see the state of your components.
And do you use this a lot when you're developing with Svelte?
Myself, I usually keep the components so small that I hardly ever really use it. But in some situations, it makes sense. Large pages where you have a bunch of stuff going on. It's nice to be able to.
I'm kind of similar, to be honest with you. I was hoping you'd answer something like that because yeah. I feel like maybe I'm a unicorn in this, that I have the Vue, React, Angular, and now the Svelte dev tools in the browser, yeah. But I don't always use them. I very infrequently use them. And most of the time, if I'm teaching, I show how to use them. But
yep.
When I'm actually developing apps, the time I tend to use them is when I'm debugging something and I think the component structure is one way and it's not looking that way. So then I want to go, instead of just looking at the elements in the page, I actually want to go look at what does it think the component structure is.
Yeah.
But that's not often.
Yeah. And Kevin, what kind of apps are you building right now with Svelte?
So at the moment, I'm not building much. Up until recently, I was working in more of a traditional engineering role at Buddybase as a front-end developer. So when I was doing that, so that was just like, I don't know, one month ago, maybe 2 months ago, we used Svelte to build so it's a low-code platform. So that's pretty much for users to build internal business tools using Buddybase then.
It's a burgeoning industry, the low-code platform.
Yeah, it feels like it's definitely exploding. Bunch of stuff happening there.
You're building a UI for people to interact with in order to build up reports and things of that nature.
Yeah, so, well, it's more of a UI to build actual web applications than reports. Yeah, so,
okay.
So that's fun.
I think, yeah, in the Microsoft world, that would be like Power Apps is one of the other entries into the low-code space. And there's other tools out there as well. This space isn't new. It's been around for years. I just think the progresses we've made in a lot of ways in front-end have made these tools even more palatable to
definitely
people who are in business, right? Like the target audience is people who are in business and may not need to be developers. But they know what they want.
Yeah, so that's a nice discussion to have, I think, because there's the no code space, right? And then there's the low code space. Mm-hmm. And I guess the no code space is where you don't have to even understand how to build stuff, I guess. And the low code is where you actually have developers, but you try to offload like the super boring parts where that you just end up doing over and over again for all of your applications.
Right. Like logging into Twitter to go get a feed and like you just replace that with a connection or whatever the low code platform calls
exactly.
And pull in. It just does those 10 lines of code for you behind the scenes. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Thanks for correcting me on that. Cause you're right. There's definitely a difference between low code and no code. And when it comes to me, it's way too much code often.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Before I joined Buddybase, I had no idea about low code really. It's one of those things where you as a developer, you kind of feel like, oh, I don't need this. I can just build it myself, right?
Yep.
But then once you start trying it out and you're like, this could save me a lot of time. So
right,
why not?
Well, moving on to some of the other tools that are out there, I'm a big fan of Visual Studio Code, as our listeners would know. I love the product. I've been bouncing around with editors for years. And then when that one came out several years back, I kind of just latched onto it. And one of the big things for me is always when I use React, Angular, Svelte, what is the extension that I use? Like, there's always a main extension for these frameworks to make. I mean, we're using a .svelte file. That's not normal, right? So it's like .vue files aren't normal. So how does the editor know this stuff? And I assume the Svelte VS Code extension is what you recommended, folks. And
yep, that's correct. So there, I'm not sure if there still are two up there. There should be. There's one that is very old. It's very, very outdated. I'm not sure if it's still in the marketplace, but you should avoid that one. You should get the new one. Obviously.
And the one they should look for is the one that says Svelte for VS Code, and it's made by the Svelte team. It's
Yes.
Yeah, because you can always see the author up on the screen.
Right. Yep. So, yeah, that's right.
But you're right. I was one of those people, we were laughing before the show, I was one of those people who had used the old one probably far longer than I should have. And it's not that it was bad. It's just that eventually somebody in the community gratefully made an extension. And then the Svelte team later created their own extension.
Yeah.
And to avoid confusion, I think it's better to use the one made by the Svelte team, just like you use the one for Vue by, you know, the
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I think there are a couple of other tools that I usually use when I build Svelte applications. So one thing I usually do is I go to the Svelte website and I hop on the REPL. That's a great way of just...
It's a great call out.
Just even developing like simple components. It's very nice.
So what would that look like? Like, let's pick like some feature that you're building. How would you go about doing that?
Yeah. So for a larger feature, probably doesn't make sense to use the Svelte REPL. But say you're either prototyping something and you just want to get something out there real quick, you can use the Svelte REPL. And I usually just, it's going to sound a bit Stone Age, but I just copy paste the code from the REPL.
Copy paste is part of our job skills. It should be up there when you're getting a job. Requirement must be able to copy and paste properly.
Yeah.
At least get you going, you know?
Yeah.
And they have examples up there that bring you to the REPLs too, I see, which I dropped a link in for folks where you could say, hey, I want to do something with, I'm learning how to do this kind of a component. And there's like sample code they start you with. I haven't done that yet, but that's a neat idea. Like, I've used the REPL to learn things and to teach, but you're saying you use it to like prototype out an idea instead of putting it in the app itself.
So in Svelte, there's a couple of concepts that are like pretty crucial to like understanding exactly how you build more advanced applications. So one of those would be stores. So that's the state management that's built into Svelte. So building, you can build your own custom stores that are doing like very advanced stuff. So just, I usually end up using the REPL to hash those out with examples and stuff like that. Works well.
So what about testing? Do you have any tools or techniques that you find that are particularly useful for building and testing apps?
Yeah, so... that's a question that comes up a lot in the Discord. Like, how do you test? How do you test Svelte components? How do you test custom stores? How do you test anything in Svelte, really? And of course, you can use stuff like what's it called, the browser one
or Playwright.
Yeah. Playwright.
Oh yeah.
Playwright. Exactly. Yeah. So you can of course use that, but that works for anything, right? Other than
or
that,
Cypress
you can
or stuff.
Cypress. Yeah. Yeah, there's Jest works pretty well. There are some things to think about, like since Svelte is compiled, you have to make sure that that works correctly. And just a bunch of test runners that work well.
Uvu, what do you like to use? One.
I like Uvu, so that's Uvu? Okay. that's a pretty niche test runner. But it's
what is it that you like about it?
Oh, it's just fast.
Okay.
Yeah. I find Jest to be a bit slow sometimes.
Slow to run, slow as a test runner.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, we don't talk about that a lot with testing, but most of the time, like somebody shows you a test at a conference or a video on YouTube or your buddy at their desk, and he or she shows you the test, and it's one or two tests. Like, ooh, look what I can do. Yeah. Then you get to your app and you've got 500 of them. Yeah. And you're like, this takes about 30 minutes to run.
Go do my crossword puzzle now. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
So yeah, you like, is it Uvu? How do you spell that? So I can go.
Yeah, UVU.
I have not heard of that one before. Have you heard of it, Craig?
I have not. No, it's new to me.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part about doing the podcast, by the way. Besides talking to great people, is actually learning about new stuff that's out there. Yeah. Well, the first thing I found was the University of Utah.
Yeah, that's right. I was doing the same thing. I guess you have to type in UVU JavaScript, not test.
Yeah, like my normal thing is uvu.js. And even if it's not the name of the thing, yep, there we go, it's GitHub.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Sorry to anybody at the University of Utah. So, are there any other tools that you find are just indispensable when developing with Svelte?
Not really. I think that's pretty much all you need, really.
Isn't that kind of the point, though, with Svelte, that you don't really need everything?
Yeah, exactly. It's all built in, except for testing, I guess. So, yeah. I know Rich Harris made a package called Svelte Knobs, which is kind of a package where you can tweak state inside of your application while you're using it. That's one that I haven't really used it, but it looks interesting.
Yes, he's got something called Svelte Knobby, which I'd read about, but I have not used that before.
Svelte Knobby.
I'll drop that in there for folks too. It seems to be a GitHub repo. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Hey, Kevin, thank you so much for coming on and dropping all this for us.
No problem.
For those out there, if they are interested in getting into the Svelte community, learning more about Svelte, I assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the place you'd send them is the Svelte Discord channel as a good starting place?
Yeah, definitely. The Svelte Discord, the Svelte Society website, of course. The Svelte website as well.
Twitter feeds are good too.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. I always forget Twitter. But definitely the Svelte Society Twitter, especially if you like memes and some shit posting. Sorry, can I swear here?
I think you just did.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. Yep, no worries. I just dropped I had the Twitter and now I had the website for Svelte Society as well. This has been great. I really appreciate you going into this. And for those folks out there who were wanting to learn more about Svelte, you can also check out, there's a demo that Craig has helped me create. It's called Shop at Home. And I wrote this website in Vue, React, Angular, and Svelte. And I will drop the running version into the show notes. And I'll also drop a GitHub repo link. So if you want to look like, what does it look like? If you're familiar with one of these four frameworks, you want to see what it looks like in the other ones. And by no way am I saying I'm an expert at all four. I know all four of these pretty well, but you know, I'm also trying to make them all as similar as possible. So there's places I took some liberties. So please don't, you know, crucify me. Like, I'm not using Svelte Kit yet in that demo, but I plan to do so once I have some time. But anyway, definitely check that out. Okay, and it's time to wrap up our show, Kevin. But before we do, we'd like to go around the table and let folks have a final thought for our audience. And this could be on topic or off topic. And Craig, I won't hold you to talking about snakes today, but what is your final thought about snakes today?
Keep them off the planes. I'm a big fan of no snakes on the planes. So hopefully we can all handle that.
You know, I've never seen that movie. I have never seen snakes on a plane.
I don't know if this story is true, but I heard that they came up to Samuel Jackson with the script and he's like, okay, I'll do it, but you have to name the movie Snakes on a Plane. So I hope that story is true, but you know, whatever.
What a fantastic title though. I mean, it tells you the punchline right away.
Right.
What's happening in this movie? Just have to know it's Snakes on a Plane.
My final thought, there's a lot of people I think who haven't taken the time or had the opportunity to try Svelte. And I think one of the biggest things, every time you learn a new framework or a new technology, I think the biggest benefit that you get out of it is a different way of thinking, even if it's slightly. just a little tweak in your mental model. And what I like was kind of blown away a little bit with Svelte was like, I felt like I was just writing JavaScript as I was building these apps. So yes, there is a shift in your mental model. There is a way that you have to think about doing things when you approach Svelte. But what's even cooler than that is that sometimes it feels like you're not having to work around a paradigm and you can just build your apps as if you're just writing JavaScript. So if you have that opportunity to dig in and you haven't taken it yet, I suggest you do.
Excellent advice. Kevin, what is your final thought for audience?
Yeah, so it's more of a TV show that I've been watching lately, and it's called The Man in the High Castle. It's pretty old, a couple of years old. It's pretty good. It's about like it's an alternative kind of historical show where the Nazis and the Japanese win the Second World War. It's stuff happens around that.
I think
pretty fun, interesting.
One of our co-hosts, Dan Wallin, has been trying to get me to watch that. I believe he's a big fan of that show as well, and he's mentioned. So the second, and that's on Amazon, if I'm not mistaken, or at least
yeah,
or Amazon Prime, whatever they call
I think
it.
So. At least over here.
One of the 40 different streaming services we can all
yep.
get right. these days, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Who didn't want to go back to the cable TV days?
The paradigm, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't miss it, but at the same time, I can never remember what channel or streaming thing any of the shows are on anymore. Yeah. So well, thank you for that final thought. And for final thoughts from me, folks out there, I want to first say thank you to all of you for listening us for 150 episodes. Without you, we wouldn't be on the air. And thank you to our sponsors for keeping us on the air. We have sponsors from AG Grid, who's been a recurring sponsor for as long as I can remember on this show. Ionic is now a new sponsor of our show. So I want to thank them very much for sponsoring and bringing the show to everybody. And then also Narwhal has been a recurring sponsor for us and will continue to do so. So we're very thankful for them in there. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention Ward Bell, one of our co-hosts, also helped sponsor our show through his company, IdeaBlade, where they do consulting. So as my final thoughts, really just a thank you to everybody out there and to make sure you take some time to think about the people that you care about. And I know a lot of people are struggling out there, and sometimes it's very visible and sometimes it's just not. And some people who are important to me in my life recently have taken some bad turns. And I know I'm sure many of you have had some affected as well, given today's climate. Just make sure you're all being safe out there. And I appreciate you all. And make sure you take time to tell somebody next to you that you appreciate them. So thank you all for coming on the show today. And Craig, Kevin, you're always welcome back. Kevin, Craig, not you so much. But
thanks for having me.
Always great to talk Svelte. I love it. See y'all next time.